We're going to learn Daf Chafei and Masechtas Ksubas, but let's just back up for a moment briefly to the bottom of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis to get a running start. The Gemara had a question as to whether or not we're Milin meet Nesias Kapayim LeYuchsin, which simply means if you see a person who's duchening. And as we all know, the only a kohen is allowed to duchen. But if you see a person who gets up and he duchens, can you therefore come to the absolute conclusion that he therefore is a kohen and therefore would allow you to do other things, would allow you as a Yisrael to give him truma and so on and so forth? So this turns out to be a machlekes between Rav Chista and Rav Avino. So they asked Rav Yossi Lemaisa, what's the halacha? So halacha says he brought a braisa. So Hilchas Amai, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok asked Rava what the halacha is. He brought a braisa with Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi used a very interesting expression, which is what we're going to focus on. Gedoylo chazoko. So we see that there's a concept of chazoko, and he brought a raya from when the Klal Yisrael came up in Ezra, in the times of Ezra, and he said that, you are not roi to be koyhanim because they were intermarried and therefore they were halalim, so therefore they didn't have the halachic status of a kohen. Okay, so then the Gemara says, okay, so they themselves proved that they weren't proper koyhanim, that's why we weren't able to bring, so even though they were duchening, and even though they were eating chumo, which turns out to be chumo derabanan, still we can't prove that they are proper koyhanim. So, let's start from literally the top line now on the top of Chafei Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Ve'elamai Gedoy L'Chazoka. So remember, we started off with this in the quote of the Braisa from Rabbi Yossi. He started off with Gedoy L'Chazoka. That Chazoka is great enough that it does something more than just, it does answer some questions. So now that we're saying that as it turns out, excuse me. Now as it turns out that we know for a fact that they were psulim, but still they had a chazaka for something. So the Gemara is saying, what are we referring to if we're not going to use this information to allow them to behave and be considered kayhanim? So in what respect are they kayhanim? So the Gemara answers, Meikara ocho betruma derabanon. So initially, they were only able, while they lived in Bavel, they were only eating truma, which was on the level of the Rabbanon. Hashta ochol b'truma de'araisa. But now, we're gonna say, okay, at least that much. If they could prove to us that they ate truma while they were in Bavel, which Rashi says is the Rabbanon over here, so now that they moved to Eretz Yisrael, we'll even give them truma on a de'araisa level. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. V'yibayisema. The Gemara says, actually, that itself is a chiddush, because now we're saying, even though we have a problem with the fact that they're not behaving like koyhanim, and there's definitely a reisa in their chazaka, even so we're going to let them eat truma, which is on a daraisa, which, by the way, just so that you know, a zor, someone who's not allowed to eat truma, is chayev misa, bidei shamayim. So it's a very big chiddush to say that they were allowing them to eat truma daraisa. So the Iba is saying, but the next teretz is like this. Hashtonami b'truma derabanan. You're right. Altogether, even now, they can only eat truma derabanan. Hashanami b'truma derabanan ochol, b'truma daraisa loy ochol. But we would not allow them to eat truma daraisa. How could you allow somebody who's not a kohen, who's not a proper status of a kohen, to eat truma daraisa? Oh, v'chi maskinan b'truma liyuchsin b'truma daraisa. B'truma derabanan loy maskinan. So this whole concept that we say, oh, if I see somebody eating truma, I can therefore assume that he's a proper kohen, is only in the context where I see him eating real truma daraisa from, as Rashi says, one of the grain, doga and sirish for yitzari. If you're eating oil or grain that only that's on a level of truma daraisa, then you can assume that he is a real kohen. But not if he's eating truma derabanan. Okay, fine. That's a very nice teretz. However, v'alamai gadoy l'chazaka. So then, what are the words in the brisa that Rabbi Yossi said that chazaka does help? So what does it help for? The answer is the afa gav te ikal mishum truma daraisa loy gazrinon. that we say that even though we theoretically should not even allow them to eat Truma Derabanan. Why? Because while they were involved, Truma Deraisa was not available. So eating Truma Derabanan was not a problem because it wasn't going to lead to anything more than that, and it wasn't going to make, nobody was going to make a mistake. But now that they lived in Eretz Yisrael, where Truma Deraisa is all around you, yeah, there are vegetables which are Truma Derabanan, and then there's grain which is Truma Deraisa, by allowing them to even eat Truma Derabanan, you're going to easily make, or could easily make a mistake. So the chiddush is, well, if they ate Truma Derabanan in Bavel, they can continue to eat Truma Derabanan in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So, right? So, therefore, we say that the chiddush is that that's the chazakah. The chazakah is that if they ate the Rabbanon in the past, we're going to allow them to continue to eat Truma Derabanan even in Eretz Yisrael, where there was, could potentially be a mistake with Truma Derabanan. Fine. So now the Gemara asks us a question, but Truma Deraisa lo yochol, so you're telling me as a matter of fact that they did not eat real Truma Deraisa v'aksiv, but the Pasuk says, Asher lo yochol mi kodesh hakadoshim. The Pasuk says, when he anointed them or put them back as koyanim, he said, but you can't eat kachim. So we make it, so that's the Pasuk. So we're making the yik, mi kodesh hakadoshim, hu de lo yochol. The Enechanami, we don't allow them to eat kachim from the Mizbeach. But anything less than that, we should be allowing it. The inference is that we should be allowing them to eat even Truma Deraisa. Because the only thing that should be prohibited is literal kachim. If so, we see that they should be able to eat even Truma Deraisa. So the Gemara answers, no. Hachi Kamar. Loi b'midi de'ikra kodesh. When it says kodesh ha-kodoshim, you have to actually break it up into two different words. We're not going to allow these koyanim with problems, we'll call them. We're not going to allow them to eat anything that is called kodesh. Tichsiv v'chol zor lo yoichol kodesh. That a zor is not allowed to eat kodesh. That is referring to what we call kachim. V'loy b'midi de'ikri kachim. And we don't allow them to eat those things that are called kachim, which is the choza v'shoik. Tichsiv ubas koyen kisiyah le'ish zor. That a bas koyin, if she marries out, so it says, he betrumas hakachim loy soichal, that she's not allowed to eat trumas hakachim. And what are we referring to? Va'amar ma, but mayer min hakachim loy soichal, those things that initially came from kachim, she's not allowed to eat. So, just as a quick reminder, this goes back, should bring back good memories from when we learned Yevamos. So, the Gemara in Yevamos taught us that if you have a woman who marries the Yisrael, she's the Bas Koyen. So while she was growing up in her father's house, so she was able to eat all the kachim and truma she wanted. Then she gets married to a Yisrael. So obviously while she's married to a Yisrael, she doesn't take on the dinim of a Koyen anymore. She's married to a Yisrael. However, if for whatever reason she gets divorced or her husband dies and she, without any children, before she has any children, she goes back to her father's house. So yes, it's true that she's now allowed to eat truma again because she's back in her father's house, but she does not go back for chos of the sheikh. For those things that the father brings home from the Beis HaMikdash, she does not get to eat. And that's what the pasuk over here is talking about. So therefore, it doesn't tell us anywhere when, even though it says that you shouldn't eat from kodesh to kodoshim, it's referring to those things that are kodesh, and that is referring to truma, and not for kachim, and she can't go back for chazav, and this guy, this fake kayin, or not fake kayin, this problematic kayin, I should say, is also not allowed to eat chazav v'shoik, similar to a woman who married Yisrael and then comes back. Okay, so the conclusion of the Gemara is that Enechanami, they did not eat truma deraisa. I mean, it depends on which teretz in the Gemara. The first teretz of the Gemara was that we did allow them to eat truma deraisa. The second teretz of the Gemara is that they were not allowed to eat Truma Deraisa because we know that they're a problem. What about the fact that it says they couldn't eat Kodesh Kedoshim? So Kodesh Kedoshim refers to both Truma and Chazav HaShoik. That's the expression. Okay. Fine. But we still haven't answered our initial question, which was, can we assume that if we allow somebody to duchen, that therefore he is a kohen? That is the big question that the Gemara is trying to answer. We're going to try to bring a few rayas to. So Toshima, so I'll bring you a rayas follows. Chazoko lekuhuna nasiyas kapayim bebavel. So we see very clearly that it's a chazoka. If you see the person is duchening, that he's able to, even if he's duchening in Bavel, that is a raya, that is a kohen. V'achilas chala b'suryo, and if he ate challah, which is a type of truma, but if he eats challah in Surya, why dafka Surya? So Rashi explains that Surya was an area that David HaMelech captured when he was, you know, when he was battling him, and he annexed it to Eretz Yisrael, and it's a machlekes. But according to this shita, we hold that kibush yochid shmei kibush. That means that even though it wasn't captured by all of Klal Yisrael, it was just by David HaMelech and his armies, it's still considered as if Klal Yisrael captured it. And if Klal Yisrael captured it, therefore it's considered really part of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, eating challah, if you're eating challah in Surya, that means in Surya they considered it real truma. Because if you hold Shmei Kibush, that means it's really part of Eretz Yisrael. It's real truma on a truma daraisa level. So we see that confirms that you are a kohen. The chiluk matonois bekrochim, and also somebody who's able to receive, who has been receiving the matonois, the various different 24 matnas kahuna, even in chutz laaretz, or rather outside of Eretz bekrochim. But it's not just any city, it's the bigger city. So Rashi explains very nicely that because you're in the bigger city, so there's always people there, and people will recognize who you are. So if you're not a kohen, there's going to be somebody who's going to call you out. And the fact that everybody's giving you matanos as a kohen, and nobody seems to be bothered by that, everybody around is considering you a kohen, that is evidence that you are a real kohen. Okay, that's the brisa. So what do we prove from this? Ketanimius, nesius kavayin. So we see very clearly the first raya was the fact that the guy was duchening, and that was considered enough proof to make him a kohen. My lovely yuchsin. And what are we talking about? That the change is that now this person is allowed to liyuchsin. He's able to what's it called? We now consider him a real kohen for yichus issues. And therefore his daughter, for example, can marry a kohen, he's not a cholo, anything like that. So the Gemara says, loy l'truma. No, it only means that if you see the guy duchening, you're allowed to give him truma, but it doesn't mean that he's a real kohen. But in the Braisa, we list a few things. Duchening is one of them. Eating challah is another thing. Now, what do we know about challah? Ma achilas challah liyuchsin. If we see a person eating challah, that's evidence that he's a real kohen. So afnasi is kapayim liyuchsin. So too, the duchening should be at that same lechayra in the brayso to be consistent. It's the same idea. It's the same notion that if challah works for yichus, then the nesis kapayim should also work for yichus. So the Gemara answers, loy, it's not true. Achilas challah gufa l'truma. That even eating the challah was, you assumed that it meant taking you, that it was even to yichus. It's not true. It's only to tell us that you could eat other truma. Why? What's the chiddush? If challah is itself truma, and that's truma daraisa, so why would you go from challah to truma? Challah is truma. So it must be telling us, so the Gemara says no. It is actually a step up. Why? Because sabr challah bizman hazeh dirabbanan. Okay, the truma deraisa. So the answer is no. There is a level of challah which is only derabbanan nowadays. It's in chutz laaretz nowadays. It's only going to be derabbanan, and therefore it is a chiddush to say that I'm allowing you to eat challah derabbanan. Oh, therefore I'll even allow you to eat truma deraisa. But it doesn't prove that you're miyuchus umaskinan, and that would be the chiddush umaskinan mechallah derabbanan lechuma deraisa. And it would be telling us that you can go to Truma Daraisa, and therefore, by the way, for our purposes, therefore, by duchening also, it would only mean that if we see him duchening, we can give him Truma, but it doesn't prove that he's Miyuchas. And the way Rav Huna, later on, let's wait for the Gemara in a few lines, the Gemara is going to tell us, the way Rav Huna explains the next Braisa, the way he explains it, he argues on the Rabbanon on the bottom. In any event, because he's going to hold, as we're going to see later, he's going to hold that kibush yochid loy shmei kibush, which means that he held in Surya, it wasn't really on a daraisa level, it was only on the Darabbanon level, and therefore eating challah in Surya is really only eating a Darabbanon, it's not really eating a daraisa. So once the challah becomes Darabbanon, the chiddush of the braisa is that you can go from Darabbanon to daraisa, but it doesn't really prove to the next level that means that he's a full-fledged kohen. And meaning, for example, we would allow him to do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. That would be a full kohen. Okay, so we don't have a raya, but we tried. We tried to bring a raya that duchening works. It wasn't a good raya. So let's try to bring another raya. The Gemara says, Tashema, Chazoka lekuhuna. Once again, similar expression, similar language. Chazoka lekuhuna m'siyas kapayim. Once again, you could prove that he's a kohen by the fact that he duchens v'chilek gronois be'eretz Yisrael u'besurya. And also, if we allow him in general to go to collect his truma, he's able to go to the goyim with the silos where everything is, and we allow him to collect truma directly, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or in Surya. Again, so Surya is because we consider it part of Eretz Yisrael, at least in this part of the Braisa. Ubechol makam shashluchei roish chodesh magiyim, and anywhere in the distance that, as we all know, the Shliach Bezin reached, which means that they used to decree when Rosh Chodesh is, and then they would send out messengers to the people in diaspora so that they know when Rosh Chodesh was, so that they would know when Pesach is, they know when Sukkot is, and so on. So therefore, anyone within that distance was considered not literally the halachot status of Eretz Yisrael, but followed the rules of Eretz Yisrael. So if we saw somebody in that region, in that 15-day walk, that was eating truma, so then we would consider them a kohen. Okay, now. So we see, once again, nesias kapayim raya, avaloi chinek guronois. So we see that duchening is a raya, that the person is a kohen. Avaloi chinek guronois, but just the fact that they are serving, they're eating from the silo, that they're getting the truma over there, that they're collecting the truma, is not a proof. Ubabavol kisurya. And in Bavol, even though, again, the shliach reached over there and they were eating truma, it's the same halacha as surya, that it is not a full din deraisa. And the way to read the braisa is correctly is like this. Chazaka lakuna siz kabayim. Okay, v'chilu gronois be'eretz Yisrael, kamo. That's where you stop. That in Eretz Yisrael, so you have nesias kapayim, and then receiving truma in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Brisa changes topics and says ubesurya ubechol mokam shesluchi rishoyed shmagiyin nesias kapayim raya. Over there in Surya, duchening is proof of aloi chilek gronos, and not chilek gronos. Okay, so therefore we see that in Bavel, duchening is a raya. Okay, the eating of the truma and getting from the silo is not a raya. That's what it says very clearly. But duchening is a raya. Ubavel kasurya, and now we're saying that all of Bavel, or at least the places where the you know, within 15 days of Eretz Yisrael, that is the same din as Surya. And now, in other words, here this brisa is putting Surya in the same category as Bavel. The first brisa we learned Surya was in the category of Eretz Yisrael. Now we're putting Surya in the category of Bavel, in a different category. So therefore, but so far what we see is that we made a distinction between duchening and truma. And duchening was, for at this moment, at least the way we're reading the Braisa, very clearly says, duchening is considered proof that he is a kohen. Now, to finish the Braisa, it says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Af Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, so even Alexander in Egypt was Bereshoina originally considered to be a place. If you duchened over there or you accepted truma over there, that would be considered like Eretz Yisrael. Why? Okay, because there was a bezin over there that would be careful and would watch who they allowed to duchen, who they allowed to receive truma. So since somebody was on top of the situation, if you did act as a kohen and were treated like a kohen, that would be proof because there was a bezin making sure and watching that things were done properly. Okay, that's the Braisa. Now finally, we'll get to the point. Ketani Mias, what do we see in this Braisa? What does it say? Nesias Kapayim. It says, even in Babel and even in Surya, duchening proved that the person was a kohen. So my love, Leyuchsin. And what else would be considered a kohen for? Must be what we consider for Yichus purposes. We consider him a kohen. So once again, the Gemara says similar to, and that would prove our question, right? That we see duchening is full evidence. The Gemara says, loy lechalo. Again, it's only one level up. It tells you that you consider him, if you duchen, you can take challah. But it doesn't prove that you're a full kohen. So the Gemara says, why not? Hadomi dechila gronis katani. But we list a few things. We list duchening and the distribution of truma. And machila gronis liyuchsin. And over there by the truma, the point was to prove that he's a kohen. Afnesis karam liyuchsin. So over here also, it should prove, lechayre, it should prove the same thing. It should be for yichos. So the Gemara answers, loy. chilek granas gufa lechala. Even you're assuming that when he was taking from the goyrin, that meant that it was yichus. That's not true. That's a false assumption. Even when we went to the goyrin, it meant that he was now allowed to take chala, which is a din deraisa. Kasava, why? So what? In other words, why? Why? What would be the chiddush if you're already giving him truma from the goyrin? Certainly, you should be able to give him chala. What would be the chiddush of the brayso? No, this proves that he can take chala. What's the proof? What's the chiluk? Because the answer is kasava truma b'zman hazeh derabanan. Because giving him truma in chutz laretz is only a dinder, is only really on a level of derabanan. The chala deraisa, but giving him chala that we separate on, that's still a dinder deraisa because that has nothing to do with being in Eretz Yisrael. That's chala could be even nowadays, even what you do in your own kitchen can be done on a deraisa level. Okay? Umaskinim b'truma derabanan l'chala deraisa. And the chiddush would be that it is going up one level, that going from truma in the geirin, which is the rabbanon, goes to the chala, which is the araisa. Now, you're about to ask why am I considering chala the araisa? That's what you were about to ask.
Come on, yeah.
Right? Ukash kechinu, and the answer is, ukash kechinu rav huna berei the rav yeshua le rabbanon. Remember, right before this tashma, the Gemara says, the way rav huna says to the rabbanon, this is the line that rav huna says to rabbanon, to amar rav huna berei the Rav Yeshua, Ashkechinu l'Rabbanon. So this is what he's about to say. He's about to prove that the chala is deraisa, because Ashkechinu l'Rabbanon b'bei Rav. He found Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua saw the Rabbanon discussing in the Beis Medrash. To Yasvi v'Kamri, they were sitting and saying the following: Afilu l'mandiyomer truma b'zman hazeh deRabbanon. Even if you hold that nowadays in Chutz Laretz, it's that truma is the rabbanon, chala de araiso. Chala is still going to be considered de araiso. Shaharei, why is that true? Zayin shekivshu v'zayin shechilku nischayvu b'chala. They were chayv and chala as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael, even while, because if you know the history, what happened was when Yeshua led Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, it took them 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to wipe out all the other nations. And even though technically they didn't even complete it 100%, but to the extent that that was when they did their main battles, was during the first 7 years. And then it took them another 7 years to divide up Eretz Yisrael to the various Shvatim and the various people. Okay, so there were 14 years before, so to speak, Klal Yisrael was settled in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so during those 7 years, Shekivshu they captured, and 7 years of Chilku that they divided up, this Chayv b'Chala, they were already Chayv in Chala even before Klal Yisrael was settled, and even before, for example, they started counting Shemitah. Okay, just to give you an idea of what that means, that they're not settled. The loin is chayev, so, and they were already chayev and truma. Even during that time, the moment they stepped into Eretz Yisrael, even before things were settled, they were already chayev and chala. The loin is chayev and truma, and they weren't chayev and truma yet, because truma is a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. Truma depends on living in Eretz Yisrael, means settled in Eretz Yisrael. But chala, they were chayev even before they were settled. So we see that it has nothing to do with living in Eretz Yisrael. It's a din now that they came to Eretz Yisrael, because it uses a different drasha. Ba'aminu lahu, so that's what the Rabbanan were discussing. So comes along Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, he walks into the discussion. Ba'aminu lahu, and I said to them, Adarabba. You want to prove from that challah nowadays is deraisa, okay, because it has nothing to do with being in Eretz Yisrael. I said, Adarabba, afilu lamandi yomer truma v'zman hazeh deraisa. Even if you want to say nowadays it's deraisa, chala derabonon. Actually, it's punkt fakert. Chala itself is only derabonon. This is what you're more familiar with. Chala is only derabonon. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Now he's going to explain why it's derabonon, even though it started before Klal Yisrael was settled. And the answer is very simple, because it says bevoyachem el haaretz. When you come, it says in the pasuk of chala, when you come, enter into Eretz Yisrael. So you might think the word bevoyachem, when you come, yochem mishen nichnasu lo. You might think that even if you come in shnayim v'shloish meraglim, even the meraglim, they came. Two, three people came into Eretz Yisrael, that's already considered coming. Talmud Loimer, that's why the Pasuk uses the expression, B'voi Achem, when you as a group come. And we darshin, B'vias Kulchem Amarti. It's only when all of Klal Yisrael comes to Eretz Yisrael. Loi B'vias Miktzoschem. and not only when they partially come. The Chiyaskinu Ezra, and the truth of the matter is, when Ezra came up for the second Beis Hamikdash, Loi Kulu Silku Soluk. On the top of Chafayim Beis, the words are Lav Kulu Soluk. Not all of them came, as we know, as Rashi says, very interesting. Only 40,000 people came. When they first came to Eretz Yisrael, it was a relatively small group. I mean, 40,000 people is a lot of people, but relatively speaking, compared to Klal Yisrael, it was a small group, which is clearly not even Roiv of Klal Yisrael, certainly not all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore this whole halacha of Chala, which is contingent on coming into Eretz Yisrael, but the definition of coming to Eretz Yisrael means Klal Yisrael is coming to Eretz Yisrael, and since Klal Yisrael did not come to Eretz Yisrael, therefore the din of Chala does not apply, and it's only a din derabbanan. So now when I tell you that they ate truma, the chiddush was that they could eat Chala, so anachanami, that was the chiddush, because Chala could be a deraisa, could be derabbanan, depending on what the situation in Eretz Yisrael is. So therefore, you were thinking that, what else is there? Where else do you go from truma? Where else do you go from Chala? It must be that it's proving that you're a full kohen. He says, no, it's only going from truma to Chala. Truma to Chala is not really such a big jump because they're only all the Rabbanon. And therefore, Nesias Kapayim also is not, we don't have to take that big jump and that big leap and say, he's a full Kayin. It's just saying that now he's good enough for Truma and that Truma could only be even on the level of the Rabbanon. So it doesn't prove that he's really a real Kayin. We're still left with the basic original question is, can you ever prove from duchening to the fact that he's a real kohen. Now, again, all of these proofs that the last two proofs anyway, where the Brisa said from duchening we could go up a level, it could mean that the Brisa actually did mean that it could really be real proof. We don't have proof, that's the word I'm looking for. We don't have proof that it means you could even prove that he's a real kohen. Because you could learn the Brisa like this, and you could learn the Brisa like that, so we don't have proof that he's a real kohen. So we're still left with the original question is, can we use duchening as real proof or not? So, now, still on the top line of Chafayim Beis, the Gemara starts off with Toshima, I'll bring you another raya. Again, it says, Chazoko lekuhuna nesiyas kabayim. That seems pretty clear, that you prove that he's a kohen by the fact that he duchens. V'chilik ranois, and the fact that people are willing to give him truma even at the silo, the edus, and if we have testimony that he's a kohen. Okay, so now the Gemara says, one second, we're listing things that the chazoka proves. Edus chazoka, since when did edus become a edus? Is like the top of the line. The chazoka is only, I don't know what to do, so I use a chazoka. Why are we listing testimony as a level of chazoka? So the way to read the Brisa is like this. Nesias kapayim ki edus. That duchening works on the same level as actual testimony. Ma edus liyuchsin. And just like testimony, if a guy is willing to testify that he's a kohen, meaning you're able to prove that he has all the yichus he needs, that his parents and his grandparents or whatever he needs to prove. So af nesias kapayim liyuchsin. So we see, very good, this is exactly our point, that now even duchening should work on that level to tell us that he's really a kohen. So the Gemara says, no, you're starting from the wrong point. Loi. Eidos haba mikoyach chazoka ke chazoka. It's the opposite. Instead of sort of upgrading the duchening, we're downgrading the eidos over here. And we're saying the testimony that we're talking about over here is not real testimony that I know I could prove I have the family tree and I have the evidence that you need. Rather, this eidos, I'm testifying that he has a chazoka. That I see around that he's a kohen. So then, so we'll treat him like a kohen because I see around. So the same thing. So duchening is also the same level also. Okay, so we see around that he's treated like a kohen, but that doesn't prove that he's an actual real kohen. And what do I mean? What do I mean by a testimony of a chazaka? Kiahu, the Gemara brings the story. Kiahu, the also the kamei to Rav Ami. The guy came to Rav Ami. Amalei muchsukani bezeh shehu kohen. To me, it's clear that he is a kohen. Again, I'm not bringing evidence. I'm not testifying literally, but to me, it's clear that he's a kohen. Amalei my rois. What did you see? How do you know he's a kohen? Amalei. So this guy answered, shekara rishon bebeis hakneses. that I saw that he got called for Kohen in Shul. He was always called first. Becheskas Shu Kohen. So now Rabbi Yami asked him, Becheskas Shu Kohen or Becheskas Shu Gadol? How do you know, just because he got the first Aliyah doesn't necessarily prove that he's a Kohen? Because the Gemara in Gittin says, right, that if you have, let's say, the Gadol Ador is at your Shul, you can call him first as a covet for his Gedula. He had nothing to do with the fact that he's a Kohen, just the mere fact that he's such a great guy. So how do you know, just because you saw him get called first, how do you know it's because he's a Kohen? Maybe because he's a great guy. So the Gemara answers, Shakara Acharav Levi. Okay, because the answer is like this. If you're calling up somebody else besides a Kohen because of their Gedula, and again, there are situations when that's okay, but then you don't follow the typical process of Kohen Levi Yisrael. So if the next person you call up is a Levi, you would only give Levi the second Aliyah if the first Aliyah was a Kohen. Once, as long as, again, this is a simple pshat the way Rashi learns, once you're calling him up, if you see that they called him and then a Levi, that's proof that he's a Kohen. Because if you called him up as a Gadol, you're no longer following the Kohen Levi Yisrael process. So by the fact that you called him a second person a Levi, is it right that the first person must have been a Kohen? And the Gemara says, Ve'alu Ravami l'kuhuna alpiv. And Ravami said, oh, okay, fine, in that case we can consider him a Kohen. But what does this prove? This doesn't prove that he's literally a Kohen. This just proves that we consider him a Kohen. So we, so to speak, downgraded the Edus over here to say, oh, it looks to me like he's a Kohen, so I guess we consider him a Kohen. So fine. Duchening also will consider him a Kohen. Now the Gemara, on this note, the Gemara has another story. Ahuda also the Kameh to Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. A similar story, a guy came to Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. Omar Levi said to him, Mukhsukani Bezeshahu Levi. Same idea. This guy, to me, he must be a Levi. How do you know? Omar Levi, Ma Rois. What did you see that indicated that he's a Levi? Omar Levi, Shakara Sheni, Bebesa Knesses, Becheska Shahu, Bebesa Knesses. Because we saw, we call him second. So again, as we know, the rule is the second Aliyah goes to a Levi. So he asked him, so once again, Rabbi Shuv ben Levi asked him, Becheska Shahu Levi or Becheska Shahu Gadol? How do you know that he's a Levi? Maybe they called him second because, as we just mentioned 2 seconds ago, that once you break the rules and you call somebody else besides a Kohen to the first Aliyah, because he's just Choshev, so then the second person also is not going to be a Levi. The second person also could be just Choshev. He's the second greatest guy. So, but then that means that he's not necessarily a Levi. He could be any random person as long as he's a good guy. So how do you know that he's a Levi just because you saw he got the second Aliyah? The answer is Shakar Lefanov Kohen. The answer is because we were following the process that we did first to Kohen, so we would only give the next Aliyah to a Levi or to a Kohen, but we would only give it to a Levi, at least a Levi, if the first guy, in other words, we wouldn't give it to a Yisrael. If the first Aliyah was given to a Kohen, the second Aliyah would never go to a Yisrael, so it would have to go either to a Kohen or a Levi. So therefore, the fact that the first guy was a Kohen, the second guy must be a Levi. The Hallel, you Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Alpiv. Okay, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, okay, that's good evidence for me, so he must be a Levi. Again, and this is all based on testimony. Okay. Ahuda also the came to Reish Lakish. There was another person who came to Reish Lakish. Amalei Mechzukani Besheshu Kain. To me, he's clearly a Kain. Amalei Amarois. So what did you see? Amalei Shakar Rishon Beisak Knesses. So he said once again, I saw him. He got called first as an Aliyah. So it must be he's a Kain. Amalei. So Reish Lakish said, Reisav Shechiluk Al Agronois. Did you see also, in other words, not just in the Beis HaKnesses, did you see outside of the shul also that people would give him, naturally they would give him Trumo at the silo? Amar Loi, Rabbi Elazar, Ve'im Ein Sham Gairin, Batla Kahunas. Rabbi Elazar's response to him was, and so what? So if there are no silos in the neighborhood, then what? He's not a Kohen. You have to literally follow him to the farm in order to make it, if there's no farm to follow him to, so then we can't prove that he's a Kohen. Fine. That was the conversation. So it was a back and forth like that. Zimnin, there was some time later, Hava Yosvei Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Elazar was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Also, Reish Lakish was learning with Rabbi Yochanan. Also, Ki Ha Maisa L'Kamei. So a similar story happened to Rabbi Yochanan. A guy came in and said, I saw that he was a Kohen because he got an Aliyah. Omale Reish Lakish, Re'isav Shechilik Alagron, Gairin. So Reish Lakish once again asked the same question. Did you see them distribute, give him, treat him like a Kohen at the silo? Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "V'em ein sham goyrim batal kahuna." So Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan is talking and said, "What if there's no farms? We can't prove that a guy is a kohen because you have to literally the guy has to go collecting truma in order to establish that he's a kohen. Without a farm, he's not a kohen." So now, based on this conversation, Hoder Chazir le Rabbi Lozer Bishus. So Reish Lakish turned to Rabbi Lozer and saw that he was embarrassed. So Omar, Shmas Mili de Bar Nafcha, that you heard something from Bar Nafcha, from Rabbi Yochanan, v'loy amris lo mishmei, and you didn't repeat it. In other words, he was upset because by the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said the exact same line, that if there's no farm, there's no proof. So that means when Rabbi Eliezer responded to Reish Lakish and said, he said the same thing, also no farm, no proof. So where did Rabbi Eliezer get that expression from? He got it from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. And Reish Lakish, if he knew that it was Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, he would have accepted it. By the fact that Rabbi Lozer said it, he says, okay, that's your Shita, that's not my Shita. I wouldn't accept it, right? If somebody tells you, Rabbi Moshe says, okay, fine, I accept it, right? But if he says, I think that, I don't have to accept what you think. I don't have to agree or disagree with you. So therefore, Reish Lakish was upset at Rabbi Lozer for not quoting properly that it was really Rabbi Yochanan that has this Shita. So, but based on this Gemara, what comes out, if this is Rabbi Yochanan, and now that he can accept it because it's Rabbi Yochanan talking, it comes out that you don't have to wait for proof that the guy went to the silo in order to prove that he's a kohen. Because if he went to the silo, great. But if he didn't go to the silo, just because there's no farm there, doesn't prove anything. Doesn't prove one way or the other. You don't have to use that. That's not your only evidence. So it comes out that if a guy gets called up, at least for our purposes on a derabbanan level, if a guy gets called first as a kohen, and it's accepted, so then we can assume that this guy continues to be a kohen. Okay, so now the Gemara continues on this note and says, Rebbe v'Reb Chiya, we have a Machlokes Rebbe and Reb Chiya. Chad hela ben al pi aviv l'kahuna. One of them was willing to say that if a father says about his son that he's a kohen. In other words, there might be rumors about who this father married, and then comes along, okay, it depends on which mefarshim you learn, but let's turn the pashup shot, that you have this guy all of a sudden out of nowhere, he says, oh yeah, by the way, you never met my son, he was born 20 years ago, and he was born when I was with this wife who's kosher, he's a kohen. He said, no problem, we're going to trust the father to say that he's a kohen. And also, by the fact that one brother was considered a Levi, and there was another, he had a brother, we'll consider the brother a Levi also. Okay, so this is, they did two different stories. So the Gemara says, Tistayim de Rebbe Hela Ben Alpi Aviv Lekuhuna. I'll prove to you that Rebbe held that a father can establish that his son is a Kohen. Zatanya, we learned in a Braisa. It's pretty clear. Hareshebo, there was a guy, Va'omar Benize, a guy says, this is what the Braisa, remember, also Sugi and Yabamas, says, Benize V'Kohenhu. This is my son, I'm introducing him now to you for the first time. And by the way, he's a Kohen, meaning the mother was a kosher, I was allowed to marry the mother, and therefore he's a Kohen. So Ne'mon La'achiloi V'Trumo. So the Halach is, we'll trust him V'Trumo V'Einu Ne'mon La'asiyah Isha. Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe holds, okay, well, again, some random guy, we'll trust him enough to say that we'll give him Trumo, but he's not considered a Kohen. What do we mean? That if he has a daughter, that daughter is not kosher necessarily to marry a kohen. That's what Rebbe holds. Amalei Reb Chiya. So remember, this was the machlekes Rebbe and Reb Chiya. So Amalei Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya says, "Im atam aminu la'achila v'truma, taminu la'asiyah isha." Either you trust him, either you trust the father, or you don't trust the father. If you trust him enough that you're going to now consider him a kohen for truma purposes, that means you trust him enough that the kid is a kohen. And if you're not going to trust him to marry a kohen, to be treated as a kohen for marriage, it's all or nothing. Again, either you believe the father, you don't believe. No cutting in the middle. It's a concept. Either you trust the father, or you don't trust the father. Okay, Amar Lei. So that was Reb Chiya's Taina. Amar Lei. So Rebbe answered, Ani Maminu La'Achila B'Truma. He says, no, there is a chilik. The chilik is, I trust him by truma purposes, Shabi Yodu La'Achila B'Truma. Because I have truma. As a kayin, I will have truma in my house. And I can decide who I allow to eat it and who I don't. So if I can give him the truma, so it's in my control. And anything that's in my control has a much higher level of chazaka, so I'm trusted for that to give him truma. So I don't have control over who he marries. That's not up to me. Obviously, I could try and I could say, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily really a kohen. It's not in my control. So that's how Rebbe makes the chiluk. But we see from the story to Stein, so we have a raya that Reb Chiya was the one who held. But Reb Chiya argued on Rebbe, and he held that no, either we trust him, either we trust the father, or we don't trust the father. So either it's considered a good ne'emanus, or it's not. So if it's a good ne'emanus, he's believed. So then in the Chanami, we see that Reb Chiya holds that we could trust the father to consider his son a kayin. Okay, now. So we remember we had two halachas. One was a father regarding his son, and the other was a brother regarding his brother to consider him a Levi. So Reb Chiya, umi de Rebbe hella ben al pi aviv. So if Rebbe is the, excuse me, umi de Rebbe hella ben al pi aviv le kuhuna. So if Rebbe was the one who held that you could marry her, that you consider him a kohen, Reb Chiya hella acha pi achiv. So it must have been Reb Chiya that was the one who said that the brother is good enough evidence for his brother. Okay, fine. So that's Reb Chiya shita. That for a Levi we're going to trust him, but not for a kohen. So the Gemara says Reb Chiya maishna ben deloy. How come you don't trust the father about his son? The reason is the karev who waits aviv, because they're relatives, they're related, and we know that a relative is not allowed to give testimony. So achnami karev waits aviv. So you could say the same thing, that a brother is also related to his brother and should not be able to testify as brother. Okay, so the answer is, so the Gemara says, now we're actually just going to go onto the top line of Chavav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the Messiah Lefi Tumoy, that the case is Erechanami. He's not Neman to say Eidos, but if he's telling a story, and in the story it comes out that he turns out that he's talking about himself as a Levi, so then that's the story can also be used. Oh, if you're a Levi, that means your brother's a Levi. That means, you know, you're all the same. So if you're a Levi, your brother's a Levi. Let's just read a few more lines, because the sugi really just ends about five lines down in Chafav Amar Aleph. So with your permission, I'm just going to go read the next five lines. What is the story that we're talking about? Similar to this. Ki ha da amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda amar said in the name of Shmuel the following. Maise ba'odam echad shahaya mesiach lefi tumai. It was a story with a guy who was just talking. He was just telling a story. He wasn't trying to say Eidus. He was just telling us a story. V'omar, and he told us like this. Zochrani, I remember, kishani tinoik, when I was a little child, umurkav aksefai shel abba, and I was riding on my father's shoulders, v'hoitzieni mi beis ha-sefer, he took me out of school, ufehifshituni eskutanti, and he took off my shirt, v'tbiloni, so that I could go to the mikvah, lecho b'truma le'erev, so that I could eat truma at night. Because the halacha is that if you're tamei, and you go to the mikvah, you could only eat truma at night. That's the first mission of Masechtas Brachos that everybody knows. So, right, that you need Harav Shemesh. Anyway, so that's the story that he told. So once we know that story, so what? He didn't try to say, I'm a kohen and I eat truma. That wasn't the point. He was just telling a story. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go to the mikvah and I went, very nice, it's a story. So now we can prove from that. So that is the definition of Masech Lefi Tumay. So now just three more lines to finish off the sugya. Vireb Chiyah. Messiah Mba, and Reb Chiya added to the story as follows, that the reason why I believe him is Messiah Lefi Tumay, is to say, V'chaveri bedilin mimenui, that my friends used to stay away from me, in other words, to make sure that I didn't become Tamei, V'ayakoyin I see, and they would actually call me, Yoichanan Oichel Chalois. He's Yoichanan eats Chalo, so we see that the people used to talk about him that way, that's what they used to even call him. The Hele Rebbe, Lekuhuna Alpiv, and Rebbe said, oh, with that, that's enough information to make a mamish considered a kohen. Even though he didn't testify about anything, he was simply telling a story. That story tells us exactly what we need to know, that obviously he was acting like a kohen and treated like a kohen, and everybody referred to him as a kohen. So if it quacks like a duck, so then then therefore he's going to be considered a kohen. But again, the emphasis over here is that not that he is saying I'm a kohen. He was telling a story, and the story turns out that based on the gist of the story, it turns out that he is a kohen. We'll stop over here.